Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. This is the week of August 2/9 into September. Oh, my God. I can't believe it's September 2010. So we're going to finish August up and end up summer. Oh, sadness and gloom. And we're going to enter September, start the fall. Well, in a couple weeks, but I always feel like when the S months come, you know, the ERs, the food changes. They're not allowed to harvest things out of the ocean anymore. So at any rate, we are at the end of August 2010, and we are about to go into September 2010. And it happens this week. And then next week we have Labor Day, which is the official end of summer and the official begin of fall, at least as far as most schools and all those things about going back to work and being responsible and diligent. So this is your last week to walk on the beach and eat tomatoes off the vine with complete abandon, as opposed to, I got to go to work tomorrow. So anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about the week ahead. What we do here on Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather is we talk about what's going on in the heavens, and then we talk about an astrology topic, and then we talk about questions from the listeners, if people have questions. And a couple people wrote with questions, so we've got those. And then also we have Colin. So we'll talk about the week. So the week ahead, actually it's going to be pretty quiet. But we are having a big Mercury week. Now, Mercury is retrograde, which we all know what that means, is doesn't actually stop and go backward in the heavens. It just appears to stop and go backward in the heavens. And if you go out at sunset on any given night, you will notice in the sky Mercury and Venus and Mars and Saturn all hanging together over there right after the sun sets. So this week, Mercury is really, really high because he's stationing and going backwards, and you can see him. Now, he's hard to see. He's kind of one of the little fast guys, and he's behind the sun more often than he's ahead of it. And also, the sun's so darn bright, we don't often see him. But you can actually see him in the heavens, and you also can see Venus and Mars because they're hanging out together. They're going to be together pretty much most of the fall. And then you can also see Saturn because he's in Libra too. So go out at sunset and watch for the gang. They're all traveling in like a little clump. And we do find when they're in a little clump that gives a lot of energy. So I've been dealing with a lot of questions about relationships the last couple weeks because people are, Saturn's in Libra and we're thinking about relationships. And Venus and Mars are in Libra and we're thinking about relationships. And Mercury's in Virgo, so we're being critical about our relationship. So Mercury at the late degrees of Virgo, and he's now moving backwards. He stationed a week ago, and now he's going backwards. And he is in the sign of Virgo. Now, when Mercury's in Virgo, he likes to play with us. He's a trickster anyway. He was the younger sibling of Apollo. You know, he always was up to little tricks and jollies and doing rotten things to people in a nice way, kind of a practical joker sort of fellow. So anyway, Mercury going backwards is a practical joker sort of fellow. So if you listened, I think I talked about my new refrigerator last week where my refrigerator died and I went to buy a new one and we did all this stuff with the delivery dates. Well, this was the week of the refrigerator coming, right? And my refrigerator envy that my friend had this beautiful refrigerator and I've always wanted I want like a house kitchen in my apartment. I want to live in New York, right? Which requires that you live in an apartment for the most part, at least on my income. And, you know, if I win the $130 million lottery, I will buy a townhouse and I will make the kitchen of my dreams all over the first floor. But living in New York in an apartment, in a rent-stabilized apartment no less, I have a kitchen. It's not like great, but it's bigger than a lot of people's kitchens. People come into my house and they go, oh, you had a nice kitchen. And I do for an apartment, but I have house kitchen envy. When I grew up, we lived in a big farmhouse in upstate New York with 19 rooms, big, rambling, cold farmhouse in the middle of winter in Rochester. But my mother, when she redid the kitchen, when we moved into the farmhouse that was built in 1826, she tore down the walls between two rooms, and she made a kitchen that's probably the size of most people's living rooms. It was huge. And the island in the kitchen that we baked on is the size of my apartment in New York, the square footage. So, yes, I did measure. So, anyway, I have kitchen envy. You know, I grew up in this huge kitchen when I was a kid, and we all hung out in the kitchen, and you know, when we'd have parties, everybody hang in the kitchen around the island talking while the cook cooked. So I go to other people's houses and I gaze at their refrigerators and their kitchens and I think about if I lived in that house, what I would do with that kitchen. So my friend Mary Ann has a beautiful house. She's got a Center Court Colonial in Connecticut. It's a gorgeous house. Kind of house I would love to live in, but, you know, on my income and wanting to live in New York, there are no Center Court Colonials in New York City. But she got a new refrigerator, a bottom drawer LG, they're really gorgeous, refrigerator with, you know, ice dispenser in the water and all that. And I don't really need the ice dispenser part, but I had fantasies about this refrigerator. So I wake up and my refrigerator died. So I went last week and bought a new refrigerator. Came home, unloaded all my stuff in my dead refrigerator into my neighbor's house, and then around 4 o'clock, my refrigerator came back on again. So I went back and forth, keep the refrigerator that I just ordered, throw away, you know, it's like money, you know, it's, there's an economy, there's a recession. What am I doing spending money on a new refrigerator? My old refrigerator is fine. So then the delivery gets screwed up. Of course, it's Mercury retrograde. Then the refrigerator comes and it doesn't fit. It's too big for the space. So I'm like, shit, man, it's not even the refrigerator I wanted, and it's too big for the space. And, it, you know, and so I send the refrigerator back because my old one's working. Why should I, you know, not going to throw away a perfectly good refrigerator when I don't really need it, a new one, and the old one doesn't fit, you know, whatever. So I sent back the bad one, the new one that didn't fit, and then talked to a couple people, and my assistant Melissa goes, Ann, you got another room. You could put the refrigerator in the other room. You could move, put some stuff there, and, you know, and she's very good at seeing what I don't see. I'm like, you know, you're right. We could do that, couldn't we? Yeah. But in the meantime, the refrigerator's already left. So I'm like, well, you know, maybe I got other things to spend money on. I got to pay taxes, you know, stuff like that. So then I talked to my friend Julie. My friend Julie is very bossy. I love her dearly. I've known her since 1980, but she's really, really bossy. And so Julie starts yelling at me. You have a defective refrigerator. It could go out at any minute. You can't not replace it. You have to go get a new refrigerator. And then of course, she reads my column, and she goes, all right, you've been talking all this time about going for your dream, going for your dream. And here you have a dream of a refrigerator, and you're not going. I said, well, Julie, it wasn't even the refrigerator I wanted. It was like a substitute because there was a run on refrigerators on the East Coast. Because apparently there was. It was a run on refrigerators on the East Coast. Who knew? And there were no refrigerators until September. So she's like yelling at me, and I said, and the ones I wanted didn't really fit in the spot, and of course then Melissa had solved it. She goes, well, why don't you put it where you want it and get the refrigerator you want? Why are you settling for a half-baked refrigerator when what you really want is the refrigerator of your dreams? And I'm like, I know, but, you know, da-da-da-da, you know, money. And she's like, you know, you're always talking about doing your dream, but you're not doing it right now. And I'm like, Julie, you're getting on my nerves. So we changed the subject, but she really was right. So I thought about it, and I went to bed, and I got up and I worked, and I thought about it some more, and I thought, yeah, no refrigerator. So what do you suppose happened? This morning, I woke up, the refrigerator is dead again. And now I'm like, oh, man, Mercury is playing with my ass. So I went down to Home Depot, and lo and behold, now that I've made the commitment to I can put the refrigerator in the other room, I can get the exact refrigerator that I want. And so I ordered it. And so it's coming on Wednesday. So I have to move all my stuff, and I'm not going to have a refrigerator in a refrigerator hole in the kitchen, but I can put other things there, and I can put the refrigerator in the other room, and then I can have the exact refrigerator I wanted, and it's only $100 more than the refrigerator I rejected that wasn't the one I wanted. So what's the moral of the story? Mercury, our dear friend. And, of course, now that I came back home, I was, like, talking to the refrigerator, like, turn back on. Don't spoil the food that's still in you because I got a new refrigerator coming. I need you to work for 3 more days. He hasn't turned back on yet. I think it's really dead now. But it resurrected from the dead last week, man. I was like, so happy because I could have my half and half for my coffee. Don't tell my acupuncture I'm still drinking half and half. So we went forward with this new refrigerator. It is the refrigerator of my dreams. It is really like, you know, it's gorgeous. Now, this week, I heard from my friend Scott in Maine, and Scott had found an office that he was going to move in, and he was a little nervous because it was Mercury retrograde, and he was all, then he kind of went, okay, I'm going to go for it. I've always wanted an office. And then the co-tenants called and said they were pulling on the deal and they weren't going to let him in the office. So he was all depressed. He's a boy. He doesn't get depressed. He wrote, "Grr, I'm not happy." You know, so he doesn't get happy. I got depressed about the refrigerator. He wasn't happy. And it's like, okay, but he wanted an office. And that particular people maybe weren't the best place for him, but there's an office out there somewhere for him. My client Annabelle, she was thinking about breaking up with her boyfriend, but wasn't 100% sure. So then they had a big fight. So then she broke up with him, but wasn't 100% sure. My friend Maureen, she had this guy that she dumped. She heard from him. He's like, "I'm coming back, and you know, you can't stop me." And you know, and she was like, "Go away." But what he represented was the dream. You know, when she dated him, she thought he was the dream. So what we're getting on this Mercury retrograde is we're getting back a weird version, Mercury retrograde version, a tricky version, a trickster version of our dream. It's not the real dream. It's the trick version of the dream. And our job is to look at it and go, "You're not my dream." And to say what our dream is. Ah, the dream. And I always remember when I watch Simon Cowell on TV, you know, in the different shows, he always goes, "What's the dream?" And he always uses "the." He doesn't say "your dream." He said, "What's the dream?" And the client or the contestant says what the dream is. And it's their job to make their dream come true. But they have to verbalize the dream and say it. Right? What's the dream? My dream is, and my dream happens to be an LG bottom freezer refrigerator, which even has an ice maker, which I'm not 100% sure I'm going to hook up, but I've got the friggin' refrigerator coming on Wednesday. We all have a dream. And Mercury is helping us get very, very clear because he's in very, very precise Virgo. And when he's in precise Virgo, dancing over the Virgo planets, he's saying to all those Virgo planets, "So what's the dream? What's the dream? Do you have a dream? What's the dream?" And your job this week, last week, next week, through the 12th, be crystal clear what the dream is. And if it's not the dream, say it again. Or send it back to GE and go for the LG one that you really want, even though it's even a few inches taller than the GE one that still didn't fit. Give yourself permission to have your dream, whether it's a refrigerator, an office, a boyfriend, whatever. What's the dream? A baby. I just had a reading with someone. We were talking about babies. She's getting towards the back end there. Got to go for that dream. What's the dream? It's understanding that there is a dream, and you have to really work on it right now and be clear about it and say, "This is my dream, and I'm going to go push for it," because that's the way to get it to happen. And with all these planets and cardinal signs, the dream can maybe come in really fast. You know, Scott could get a new office this week. Annabelle could get a new boyfriend tomorrow. She's very cute. I'm getting a new refrigerator on Wednesday. I'm real excited. And I think the whole concept is paying attention to the dream, talking to it, giving it permission, clarifying it even, so that you're clear and Mercury's clear. Because Mercury is actually a very good guy when when you work with him productively. He can be very helpful. And he is very astute at recognizing the dream. Okay, so now we're going to look at the week ahead, because it is a Mercury kind of week. Not a lot going on. There's not a lot of planetary aspects. There's kind of stuff. You know, last week had Mercury reversals, is what we're going to call last week. Buy a refrigerator, not have it work, but whatever. So at any rate, we're now going to be working this week more Mercury retrograde. We've got the moon in Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, and Leo. And then next weekend, of course, is Labor Day, which is the official end of summer. That weekend the moon is in Cancer and Leo on Sunday and Monday. And we're off in the United States on Monday the 6th, and we all go back to work on the 7th. So the sun this week has a number of kind of aspects, nothing too major. It's got a combust Mercury, joins with Mercury on the 3rd, which is Friday, I believe. And combust Mercuries are Mercuries that are very opinionated. So what you're going to find when Mercury joins with the sun is everybody's going to be very opinionated that their opinion is correct. When you talk with people who live in a combust Mercury, these are the people who never doubt. I'm always a little surprised that I don't have a combust Mercury. And I'm always like, wow, you really completely believe everything you say, and you think it's 100% true, don't you? And they do, because for them it is 100% true. So this week on Thursday and Friday and Saturday too, we're going to think we're 100% right, because we're going to all have a combust Mercury in the sky. And the combust Mercury in the sky is going to say to us, yep, you're 100% right. There is no doubt whatsoever that you're correct, correct, correct. And it can be a little obnoxious, those combust Mercury. Of course, I don't have one, so I look at them as obnoxious. Maybe they're actually really nice people. But it does have an energy of righteousness or self-righteousness or thinking that they're always correct. And the Sun also squares, semi-squares, Venus on September 3rd, which is a little bit of a stressful aspect, because that is a, I'm always right, and you're not. I don't care what you think, you're not right, because it's a square, semi-square to Venus, saying, no, not right. So those are the two aspects, the big ones that the Sun has. He also talks to the node on September 2nd, which is on Thursday. So you want to watch who you meet on September 2nd, because you could meet someone who is very important for you, particularly in the morning in the United States, on the East Coast, and if you're on the West Coast, on the way to work. And if you're in Europe, towards the end of the day. And if you're in Australia, I guess in the middle of the night. I'm not really even sure. 12 hours, it'd be 10 at night. And then we also have a lot of energy around changes of, changes around what we consider to be our sense of optimism, and that's on September 4th, which is Saturday. So we want to kind of watch for those changes and say, changes around that sense of optimism. What are they? And give them permission to come in. Mercury, as we mentioned, has the aspect to the Sun. He also has an aspect to Venus. So normally he and Venus are good buds, but this week they're going to be a little squabbly. And he has an aspect to Mars where he's a little squabbly. So he's in the mood to be a little squabbly, meaning he's going to be cantankerous and difficult. And so, and exacting, you know, exacting. If you've ever irritated a Virgo, you know that they get very picky. They get really down to the line. They go, okay, you didn't fill this form. This is wrong. Fill it out. And you're like, what's wrong with it? It's wrong. Fix it. And they don't tell you what's wrong. Or they kind of don't give you warnings. Or they work to the letter instead of the theme of the law. So Mercury this week is going to be doing stuff like that. So people are going to be like, no, that's wrong. Can't do it. You'll be like, what's wrong with it? And they're not going to tell you. It's a Virgo kind of week. Because Mercury is in, you know, he's not in a good mood. That's the best way to say it. Not in a good mood. He's being exacting. He's like, what do you mean you rejected a refrigerator and you went and bought one that was even bigger than the one you bought? Well, it wasn't the one I wanted. I wanted this one. It's a refrigerator. I know. But I had a refrigerator dream, right? So it's that kind of, those kind of conversations, you know. And Mercury, when he's in Virgo, can be very precise. So when you say, you know, I really like coffee. He goes, decaf or regular? Regular. You want French roast? You want espresso? You want Kona? You want Colombian? You want Ecuadorian? You want house blend? House blend. Do you want it ground for a coffee maker, an espresso maker, for steam or for a percolator, or do you want the whole beans? Whole beans. And he goes, how much do you want? A pound? A half pound? A quarter pound? 2 pounds? 3 pounds? 5 pounds? 5 pounds. That's Mercury in Virgo. Very, you know, step by step by step. And you know what? We're not in the mood. We got the Cardinal Cross running. We want to just do it and be done with it and be moving on. And Mercury's saying, not so fast. Let's go in according to the speed with which I want to go. And so our job is to say, okay, and slow down. So we're walking with Mercury. We're not giving him a hard time. Because he is in trickster mode, and he'll give you beans instead of fine ground for your espresso maker, and then you're going to have to go buy a coffee grinder. All right, Venus. Venus is busy. Venus has aspects this week because she's at the last degrees of Libra, and she's entering her shadow, okay? Very important. Venus is going to be retrograde for 40 days this fall, and on September 5th, she enters her shadow, which is next weekend. And that means that we're going to start learning what the Venus retrograde story is about starting next weekend. So she's going to go into Scorpio, and then she's going to go back into the Venus, and then back into Libra, 28, 27. Then she's going to go forward again. Now, the one thing that I always get real excited about is when planets are at 27 of Libra. So in this case, Venus is stationing on 27 of Libra. So what we're going to, what that is 1982. Now in 1982, that was when Saturn and Pluto joined in November on that degree, 27, 28 of Libra. It's a really big relationship degree. It's also the terrorist degree for the terrorist attack, Saturn and Pluto, destruction of the structures. And in 1994, when it was square, we had the 9/11 attacks, or the World Trade Center attacks. 2001, when it was square, we had the opposition attacks. And then it's been square since last November. So now Venus is going to go and dance on it a bit this fall. So the terrorist theme is going to be back up. Whether there's terrorists or not is irrelevant. The terrorist theme is going to be up because Venus is in Libra dancing on those points. And we also have her stimulating the relationship stories from 1982, from 1994, from 2001, and from this year. Okay, so this Venus retrograde is going to be a little bit intense. It always is anyway, because when Venus is going backwards, we really notice it. But watch what happens when she goes into Libra, when she enters her shadow on the 5th of September, because that's the Venus story that we're going to be working with. Now, Venus rules love and money, so when she goes backwards, love and money kind of reverse themselves, for lack of a better word, and they don't go quite as forward as smoothly as possible. Now, for me, 1982 was big because that's when my mother got diagnosed with colon cancer. 1994 is when I broke up with my ex of 14 and a half years. 2001 is when I left corporate America to be an astrologer. So I happen to think this fall is going to be pretty big for me. And if you think about what happened for you in those years, I'm going to imagine you find a big structural change in the story of your life. So this week, next week, Mercury is working on getting you clear about what you want the new structure to look like, and then Venus is going to be playing with you all fall to get you clear on emotionally what you're looking for, what your desire nature has. And then once she goes direct, Jupiter goes into Aries again, and then Uranus goes into Aries, and they start building the new life, okay? So while we are moving forward towards our dream, we do have Jupiter and Uranus back in Pisces, and they're the creative planets, so they're the ones that are going to create this new thing for us. So we're clearing now, this week and next week, Venus, Mercury stuff, our ideals, our dreams. So one, I'm going to have a new refrigerator. But two, it's also then we get into Venus where she says, this is what my dream is. This is what the dream looks like. This is what I want to build now. And as she's going to be emotionally processing or intellectually or desire nature processing, I guess is a better way to say it, the work that we've been doing this year as Saturn squared Pluto, November, January, and then in August. Okay, so Saturn squared Pluto in a closing square, psychological square, Capricorn Libra. Saturn's in Libra. Libra's about relationships, partnering, creating. Venus is going to go backwards saying, what do you want to create? And she's going to take you back to 1982 and take you on a journey through Scorpio. Now, Venus in Scorpio, not her happiest placement. She's very intense, very passionate, but she's not always so happy there. But she's intense. We'll give her intensity. So it's also about being clear about what's the dream. What's the passion? What's the desire that's going to be fueling your future? And so starting on Friday, she enters her shadow, so we start the story. Now, Mercury's in his shadow, entered his shadow on August 1st, right? So this Mercury is really clearing out the last little remnants of the T-square because he's blopping them up. Now, Venus on Friday goes into her shadow, and she's going to be bringing up the story that we're going to be working on through the end of December, okay? So watch what happens over the Memorial Day weekend or the Labor Day weekend because it's big. You're going to be working on it all fall long. Venus also wants to form new relationships. So she's got a lot of new relationship energy this week because she trines Neptune and she trines Chiron. And she says, gee, guys, hi, how are you? And Neptune and Chiron are also trining the degree point from 1982. So there's a lot of energy that's very positive about moving forward. Okay, so we don't want to make it sound just that Venus retrograde is going to suck, although it might. But we really want to say what it is it's an opportunity to reevaluate, revisit our desire natures and say what they really are and get them clear. Mars is not busy at all this week. He's got three little quick aspects. He talks to Ceres on the 3rd, so it's a parenting aspect, and he finishes something up and something on August 31st. So August 31st, you're going to want to end a relationship. You're going to want to end a deal. You're going to want to say goodbye to something and let it go. Jupiter, too, does not have very many aspects. He does have one on the 5th, which is when he squares Hades. And Hades is a Uranian planet. I throw them in because they're really powerful, especially in financial stuff, and we've been waiting for the stock market to crash or not crash. And thus far, it hasn't crashed, although last week they were talking about the Hindenburg omen, indicating it could burn up just like the Hindenburg did in 1937. And we did have the flash crash on May 6th, the same day that the Hindenburg went down. So we're going to have Jupiter square Hades this week on the 5th at 7:40 in the morning. So that's the weekend. So I don't know. I don't know what that's going to be. But it's maybe saying we're free. We're past it. And then Saturn doesn't do much this week either. He's got quintile aspects to Chiron, saying, okay, that was a wound, and it's healed now. I get what the wound was for. I understand what it helped me do, what it didn't help me do. And then we have Uranus, sesquiquadrate. I love sesquiquadrates, to Juno. So that's going to be adjusting relationships and patterns of relationships on August 30th. And then we have Neptune, sesquiquadrate to Vesta, saying changes around the home, changes around the hearth. And Chiron, sesquiquadrate to Chiron sesquiquadrate to Vesta. Changes around the home, changes around the hearth. And that's about it. Pretty much that's the week. We also have Cupido stationing. Now, Cupido, again, is a trans-Neptunian, and I do like these guys. They're really powerful. But what Cupido is, it's about the family. It's about your sense of who's your family, who's your tribe. And Cupido stations on the 30th, so we're going to be doing stuff around who's the family, who's the tribe then, that will help us get in touch with what we're here for, why we're here, what we're doing. And we also have Juno aspecting the North Node on September 3rd, which can be a big partner coming in or a big relationship coming in on Friday. So the moon this week is in Taurus on Monday and in Taurus on Tuesday with a closing aspect of a sextile to Uranus. So those are nice days to get things out the door. Moon in Taurus, lovely, exalted moon. Sextiling Uranus, lovely, exalted, changeable planets, push, 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 good aspects. Wednesday the 1st, 2nd, moon is in Gemini, and it's in Gemini 8:15 on Tuesday night. And the closing aspect for the moon in Gemini is a square to Uranus. So this is when you want to let things go and send them off into the world and say, thank you so much, goodbye, goodbye. And it's a good separating aspect. Departure, goodbye, so long, farewell. Friday, the moon is in Cancer. Saturday, the moon is in Cancer. And the closing aspect is a trine to Uranus. Again, fun and supportive. Friday is a kick-butt kind of day. There's lots and lots of aspects that day. So that's a busy, busy, busy. And then Sunday, the moon is in Leo with lovely aspects. So we love Sunday, and the closing aspect for that is a sextile to Venus. So Monday and Sunday are moon in Leo and really lovely. And again, Monday next week is Labor Day, so it is a holiday. I probably am out of town, but if I'm not, I'll be on the radio. So that's the scoop for the week. Should be fun. Lots and lots of activity. Lots of activity, but nothing major. Very kind of quiet week, kind of watching all that stuff unfold. Now, the planets are starting to separate. The T-square planets are starting to separate, and Hindenburg omen, notwithstanding, and we'll see what happens. Financial markets did not collapse. I have to say I'm a little happy. I didn't really want that to happen. And I love it when I'm wrong. especially about stuff like that, because it's like, oh, man, that looks really awful. But it wasn't so bad. Nothing horrible happened, which is good. I don't think we're 100% out of the woods yet, because they keep going to Hindenburg Ohm, and I'm like, where the hell? Who knew there was such a thing? But it's also about us moving forward. Now that the T-square, the blockage is released, the stagnation, the sense of being held back, now the planets are all starting to go in their own directions, and they're separating. So Jupiter's going off into Pisces. He's going backwards right now. He's in Aries, going back into Pisces next week. He goes back in. And Saturn is scooting off, heading off for Libra land, going all the way up to 17 Libra before January. He's really moving fast. Pluto, still going backwards, stationing, and he goes direct on the September 14th. So he's going backwards, too. So we're, you know, everybody's moving. They're all splitting apart, which is good because the tension then drops. It feels less. It releases. And because they're cardinal planets, they're all creating some kind of change in our life, right? Because they're all cardinal action-taking, starting new stuff. They're all creating some kind of change, which is very good. And we're all in the process of, okay, change is happening, and we have the energy to make the change. We're actually in the mood to make the change. And the planets are supporting us making the change. So this is all to the good. Forward. Off we go. All right, so let's talk about, that was the week ahead. So nice week. Be really clear with Mercury. Be really clear when he comes to you with questions or when he brings back the ghosts. Because the other thing Mercury does, Mercury retrograde does, I forgot to say this, is he brings back the ghosts from your past. And he says, aha, here's a ghost. And you're like, a ghost? Man, I don't really want to talk to the ghost. And he's like, oh, yes, you do. And so you're going to hear from ghosts. You're going to hear from people you haven't heard from in a while. Or people who you haven't talked to are going to connect with you and say, gee, hi, you know, you want to be hanging out? You want to talk a little? And you don't have to. You do not have to talk to those ghosts. But they're there to remind you of your past, to remind you of what your past dreams are, to remind you of what you wanted in the past, to remind you of what your vision for yourself was. And that's why they come back. That's what Mercury retrogrades are for. It's also a great time to organize and to get all your stuff, papers in order. I'm going to be moving a couple of bookcases because I'm getting a refrigerator that's going where a bookcase lives right now. And it's good organizing, good moving, good shifting, good changing, good revising, revisiting, and changing things. So forward we go into the week. All right. So we have an email from Jacqueline, who was born on my birthday, too. She was born on, let me pull this up. Yeah, what did I do? I love these computers that just go crazy. All right, there she goes. I was born on September 11th, 1987, time 11:46 in Redding, California. Most of my childhood has been about cooperating, adjusting, and trying to fit in. I feel wise beyond my years. Around my peer group. So in turn, I have yet to have a close relationship with an equal in a relation, friendship, or romance. I feel a career I enjoyed might be an answer, but I'm not quite sure what that might be. Maybe there are some clues in my chart that could shed light on what career I would be happiest in, and also would my adulthood be more fulfilling than my childhood? And that's from Jacqueline in Redding, California. So let's see what Jacqueline's chart looks like. So she's a Virgo. Now, the first thing you think about when you hear about a Virgo, right, and I'm a Virgo, so I can say this about my fellow Virgos, is single, very often single, because, I always say that, and all the Virgos in the room go, oh, really? Come on, give me a relationship. Virgo likes to be alone, you know, it likes having its own space, its own house, its own time. It's not necessarily real interested in sharing with a lot of people. It's a private sign. You know, it likes its privacy. It's not like into, you know, being in real mushy stuff because, you know, like who wants to stick your tongue in somebody else's mouth? I mean, you know, they have germs and stuff. You have to say, Virgo, okay, what's the vision? What Virgo is for is they're here to be the harvester. They're busy working. So very often Virgos don't form relationships because they're really busy working. That's what they do. They work instead of relate, because you know what? It's safer. And I can say that because it's true. And it's not even a combust mercury yet. Okay, so Jacqueline was born on September 11, 1987, 1146. And Jacqueline was born near an eclipse. Let's see if she was born on an eclipse or if she was just near one. If she's by on an eclipse, I mean you can be born in the eclipse period or, yep, and she was born right before an eclipse happened. So she was born on the 11th, and there was an eclipse on September 22nd and on August 6th. So when she was 11, and then when she is 25, she has big years around relationships. All right, because October 6th is the other one. And she doesn't have a lot of air in her chart. She's a lot of earth and water and fire. She's got a lot of fire. Her moon is fast, so she's very quick. She picks up on things really quickly. And her moon is opposite the part of passion. So there's a little part of her that gets really nervous when it's passionate. It makes her kind of go, hmm. And her Mercury and her Venus are in mutual reception. Now, I got an email from somebody the other day complaining because I said something about Venus in Virgo doesn't like being in Virgo. And I think the person had Venus in Virgo, which is totally fine. You know, everybody's got Venus somewhere. The reason Venus doesn't like to be in Virgo is, again, because it wants to be alone. And if you're Venus, you're supposed to want to be with other people. So when you have a Venus in Virgo, you want to be by yourself. Now, she has Mercury in Libra, which wants to be in partnership. So she likes to talk to people and connect to people, but she doesn't necessarily want to be with people. And she also has Venus and Mars straddling her sun. Now, when Venus and Mars are joined in a person's chart, very often that person is independent. They don't necessarily need to go outside of themselves because Venus is joined with Mars in their own chart. Their Venus isn't lonely. They don't need to go find some Mars in another chart. Their Mars isn't lonely. They don't need to go find some Venus in another chart. Venus and Mars are very happy because they're hanging out with each other. In her case, Venus and Mars straddle her sun, so she actually is very happy being by herself or being alone. And I would say she's happy because it's fulfilling on many, many deep emotional levels. Now, she is a Scorpio rising, so the Scorpio rising, we look to see what the story is with Mars, because Mars is the ruler of Scorpio. I know some of you are going Pluto, but we always look at traditional rulers too. Mars in Virgo, up there by the sun, okay? Again, Mars joined to the sun makes the person be like an Aries. Aries, not so much into the relationship. They're into hunting, but they're not into relationships. They like to hunt them and catch them, and then they run away really fast when you try and say, hey, you want to spend a little time here? Because they're like, no, I'm a scout. I have to be gone. So Venus and Mars and the sun all join. She's very happy being by herself or being, you know, doing what she likes to do all by herself. Then they're also squared by Saturn. And they're squared by Uranus. Right? Everybody see that? Saturn and Sag. Uranus at 22, Sag. Saturn at 14. So they all, that whole Virgo cluster squares Saturn and Uranus, saying, not 100% sure I want to be in a relationship. I kind of like being a solo person by myself. And once I find myself in commitment, I get a little nervous, and maybe I leave Uranus. I kind of go, okay, got to go, bye. So there's not that the chart has a prohibition against relationships, but her posture is, no, I'm not 100% sure I want one. Now, I would say, okay, that's okay. Then we look at the moon, because the moon is emotional, right? And the moon is in Taurus, exalted moon, great moon, but it's in the house of work. It's in Virgo's house, so it's an honorary Virgo moon. And it's opposite Pluto. She probably didn't see some happy things when she was a kid growing up in terms of her parents' relationship. So she's not 100% sure she wants to be that vulnerable. Plus she has Pluto in the 12th, makes her a little nervous about people controlling her. So she's not 100% sure. And she has Jupiter in Aries in the sixth house. It is retrograde. I know you're going to go, it's retrograde. But it's trine to the Uranus, and it's trine to the Ceres, and it's trine to the Neptune. So again, its song is freedom, freedom. Now, I would say to Jacqueline, you know your chart, you got Mercury on the south node. So I always think about that chart as being, you kind of said to the universe when you were coming in, I don't think I want anything unless I ask for it. So unless I ask for it, don't send it to me. Because Mercury on the south node says, I don't think I want it. And so the universe goes, okay. And it doesn't send it to you. But it also is the other works the other way. Mercury on the south node says, you know what? I think I want this. And the universe goes, okay, let's make it. And Mercury is the ruler for her of all those Virgo planets and her Gemini planets, seventh house relationship, co-ruled by Mercury. When and if Jacqueline says she wants a relationship, she can have one, but she has to get over her fear. Now, she's not going to be over the fear until she's 23, 24, right? Because that's kind of pretty big in there right now. Because the fear is tied to Uranus. So she's not that old yet. She hasn't had her Saturn return. So I'm going to say to Jacqueline, I don't think it's that you're not going to have a relationship. I think it's when you're ready to have one, you will. And 23, 24, don't go making commitments like you don't think you're going to have a relationship because, you know, it's a vow. When you make a vow, then the vows eventually turn into curses and they curdle around your ankles and hold you down. What I would say to you is take that little Mercury of yours and direct it towards what you want and say to Mercury, okay, Mercury, this is interesting. We're talking about Mercury. Well, Jacqueline has a very strong Mercury on the south node. She should say to the Mercury, look, Mercury, what I want is this. And then watch how fast it comes in. And so then she knows how fast her Mercury delivers. And I bet that Mercury delivers really fast. And giving her permission to say, you know, I don't think I want a relationship just yet. Or, perhaps better, I don't want the relationship my parents had, because she doesn't. But also giving her permission to dream about what kind of relationship she actually does want. What would it look like? What would partner be like? What's the focus? What's the vision? What's the dream, as Simon Cowell would say? What's the dream, Jacqueline? So Mercury on the south node, with this chart, if you don't ask for it, it ain't happening. And if you say, I don't want it, it ain't happening. Because you put on Mercury on the south node that said, unless I ask for it, don't send it to me. And Mercury's in the sign of air, which is how we initiate creation. We have the idea. So with her Mercury on the south node, if she holds that she doesn't want a relationship, won't happen. But if she holds that she would like a relationship, would happen. Now, she did say she wanted to work, right? And, of course, Mercury rules all those planets. And they're all in the sign of Virgo, which is a working sign. And it's all, they also, the moon is in the working house. So there's a lot of energy for her around giving herself permission to work hard and to create something. But I would also add in there, you know, the other things that you would like in addition to work, because it's certainly a job or a life you could work a lot in and create a lot of stuff. And the other part of it is understanding that your idea of partnership with Juno in Aquarius is very different than other people's ideas. And so letting your idea of partnership talk and say, well, what I'm looking for in a partner is boppity-boppity-bop, rather than, I don't really think I want a partner. I'm not sure I want a partner. Because when you say that, going to be gone. And yes, you're going to be hard to have an equal, it was a close relationship with an equal in friendship or for romance. Part of the reason the Virgo, what they do is they caretake, right? They take care of other people. They are the people that are the nurturers of others. So they tend to put themselves in relationships where they are slightly unequal because they're a servant or they're a caretaker, right? And so in her case, I was wise beyond my years around my peer group. So she felt like she was wiser and smarter than them, and she certainly is very smart with this chart. But then it's like, well, okay, I don't really find people that are my own people, right? She doesn't. And so part of what her relationship story is going to be is finding people that are people that she wants to partner with or be with and what those people look like. And that's part of it, too. It's like, what are you looking for in a partner? What are you looking for in a relationship? You're 23 years old. What's your vision? And giving herself permission to do that. Then the next piece is where her progressions are. So we watch the progressions and we move forward like a plant. Every chart grows. And right now she's a 10 Libra. Okay, her sun's a 10 Libra by progression. And her Venus is moving along at 22. She's about to have a Venus return to her progressed Venus. Thus, the question of relationship is present. And her progressed moon right now is 8 Pisces. So 22 months from now, when that progressed moon goes into Aries and hits that north node, 24 months from now, that's about 2 years. That progressed moon hits that north node in the fifth house of relationships. I would be very surprised if she wasn't knocked off her feet by someone and quite smitten. So we'll see what happens. She does have opportunity, certainly, nothing preventing it. But you know, with the Pluto rising, the Scorpio rising, she has to let go of the control and let go of the fear. And then it can happen. Yeah, it can definitely happen. So I'm not giving up on you, Jacqueline. I think you're going to have a good time. And I think it's going to be a nice relationship when you finally let it in. It's coming. It's coming. Not just yet. All right, forward we go. Next, let's take a caller, if there's any out there. We do. We have callers. Hi, 912. How are you?
Hi, Ann.
Hi.
Hi. I'm asking questions for a friend of mine who's working. Her name is Peggy.
Uh-huh.
And she was born July 9th, 1950.
Mm-hmm.
9:50 a.m.
9:50 a.m.?
A.M.
Mm-hmm.
In Long Island City, New York.
Okay. And what's the question?
Well, she has two, but they involve the same topic. She is working in the moment in Buffalo, Rochester area, up in cold, and she has a choice to stay either there or come back to Savannah, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe your chart will tell you. I don't know what your chart looks like. And then she said, well, I really want to know whether or not it would be good for my youngest son to come spend time with me. And I said, I don't know, because you're always saying I want an apartment to myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I don't know. I said, but I know this great astrologer, and she might be able to look at your chart and say, hey, try this or try that.
Okay.
So
July 9, 1950, and she's up in Buffalo.
She's in Buffalo at the moment, and she's deciding whether or not she's coming to Georgia.
All right. And where does the youngest, which son, which child is it?
It's the youngest son who is in Georgia at the moment and will probably need a place to stay, and I can tell she's nervous about him staying with her.
Okay. And which child count, though, by body count? How many kids are there?
She's got two. She's got an older son and a younger son, both adults.
Both adults. Okay. So he's the sixth. The children, when we look at a chart, so July 9, 1950, 9:50 a.m., firstborn child is a Capricorn. Secondborn child is a Pisces. You know, we count derived houses. So the seventh house is the secondborn child. And the question is, should she move or should she stay? She's got a bunch of stuff about wanting, her chart right now wants to put down roots. So really what she's doing is she's putting down roots for the next 30 years. And figuring out what that vision is for herself. And so part of what this time is particularly this fall, and then through next spring, she doesn't have to make a decision right away, but she does need to make one by next July, August time frame. It's about saying, okay, what do I want to put down the roots? Because Saturn going through the second house, she had her second Saturn return, which said, okay, you know, you're 58, you're cooked, you're done. And now Saturn in the second house says, let's come up with the vision for where we're going. What the new life looks like. So that's her job, is to come up with the vision for the new life. Saturn through the second often says, I'm ready for something. Saturn comes to March, to Mars and Neptune this fall, and she doesn't have to live with the second child, although he does look like he likes to be taken care of. So I would say
right,
her,
and I said that to her. I said, your pattern is to give up your space for your children. You may have a pattern like mine where you have service to others, but I'm not sure if this is good for you.
Yeah, and it isn't. So she wants to hold those boundaries. So she doesn't actually have to move back down to Atlanta. She can move someplace else that she's always wanted to try. She lives on the East Coast. Her chart is you know, going to stay pretty much the same. So if she's, you know, flexible in terms of where she lives, she's got fairly nice lines running through the middle of the country. And her moon line goes through Texas and Des Moines and Kansas City and Little Rock. So she can get to the south but not be in the south-south. And she, her Vesta goes through Omaha, Wichita, Oklahoma City, and a little to the left of Houston. If she stays in the East Coast, she has nice lines running through, you know, lower New York State, the Philly area, that section of the world. And if she moves back to Atlanta, it's not a bad place for her. Certainly, it's
about close to the beach, like Savannah.
Yeah, Savannah would be better, I think. You know, okay, like, you know, she's a little bit more in the middle of the things. But it's really about what her vision is for her life, because she's starting the next big chapter, and I think it's finding a place where she can form some community. She's also about to have Saturn come to Mars, and Mars for her is a second spouse. I don't know what one she's on, if she's interested
first
in
first one passed away.
Huh?
First one passed away quite a while
first
ago.
Yeah, so she's, you know, the Mars rules the second spouse house, and she has the moon and Vesta in that house, so it may be she could find somebody with that configuration. She also, I don't think she really wants the kids to move back in. It's hard for her to say no to them, though, because of the Cancer stuff. The Cancer
right, and I thought to myself, I wonder what her other signs are, because she's having a hard time saying no to both of her young adults. And she's stuck between New York and Savannah, and she doesn't know what to do, and she's fluctuating.
Right, ooh, right. Well, her progressed sun comes to Saturn next year, okay? And that is a real boundary-setting thing. And that also usually finishes up a pretty big karmic cycle. And that takes place, actually not even a year, it's about 6 months. So she should have a decision on what she wants to do by March of next year, okay? So I would say to her, try different things. If she was coming to me for a reading, I'd say try different things. See what appealed to you. There's a lot in your chart that says you're really in an ending cycle where you're ending things that don't work for you and giving, and then in the middle of all those endings, then there's new beginnings. So, and she just had let's see when that was. She had a new moon. She had a new moon in May. End of May, beginning of June. So there was something that came in then that made her think about a new possibility or new trying something new. So I would say to her, you know, try it, but I don't know that it's Atlanta. I think it's about giving herself permission to think about where does she want to retire to, where does she want to end up, where does she want to put down roots for the next 30 years. And she is having some fairly big, did she end a relationship at the end of June or break up with somebody that she was relatively serious with?
No, I don't think so. I know that her older son, where she's been up trying to help him out through his situations, they're not talking right now. So,
okay, so
I haven't. I think that might be part of it. It's not ended, but she said they're not really talking.
Okay, so she was up in Buffalo where he is.
Right.
Taking care of him. So that was probably the end of June. Okay, that really was to free her to leave Buffalo. And then I would say to her, pick some other place. Pick a third place, not where they both can come to visit you. She is a Cancer, so part of the problem or part of the gift with Cancer is likes to nurture and take care of people. But let's make that be something she gets paid for rather than with her adult children. Was her son getting a divorce?
No, he was going through Cancer things. Her younger son is going through changes. And actually, her profession is caretaking. And I said to her, you know, Anne said to me once, I have taken care of other people in my life, but I was to stay away from making it personal and friends. Sounds like you ought to try that too, since your profession is a caregiver anyway.
Right.
You might be overwhelming yourself and your family, even though that seems to be a pattern in you.
Right.
I, and, you know, I could hear her. She said to me, well, I'm not sure if this would be good for me. I said, follow that instinct. You know,
right.
I wasn't sure.
She's feeling on some level she's supposed to break free from it. It definitely is a good time to do it. And it's good.
Right.
You know, the sun is through his crisis. So she's now free to go do something else. And what is it she's always wanted to do? Ask her what she was doing in 1980 to 82, because she's about to have that cycle repeat. And
okay,
back then
she
did something 29 years ago that she's now ready to do the next new big cycle. And it's really a cycle for her about giving birth to herself and giving birth to her vision of what she wants. So I think that would be what I would point her towards. And also, you know, when you're a Cancer mother, it's very hard to separate from your kids. And she has a moon in Taurus, so she's a very generous person with that Taurus moon. But the moon's in the ninth house, so maybe giving herself a little permission to travel, you know, to go on some of those elder hostel trips and meet some people that are a little different. She also has the moon square Pluto, so it's very hard for her to set the boundaries with people and say, no, I have to stop now. But that actually is a healthy thing for her to do.
Okay.
Because it gives her permission to say no. And she has trouble saying no because her Mars and her Pluto are joined in Libra in the second house. So, you know, she kind of thinks of it as she's partnering and helping them. But really, you know, part of it is, yes, you are, but at the same time, you're not letting yourself have your own life. And she's a Virgo rising, so she can always take care of people. That's, you know, but does she want to? That's the next question. And
okay.
Do they need her to? Or is it actually healthy for them, for her to let them kind of figure out what they're doing for themselves? And then, I mean, obviously, if your child is sick, you know, nobody's going to keep her from a sick child. But it's also giving herself permission to have her life now as she enters her third Saturn cycle. What is her vision for what she wants? And where is the parts that haven't been explored? I would ask her what she did when she was like 14 that she wished she did more of, and to start doing that. And the reason I'm saying 14 for those of you following along at home is that was the degree her Venus was at, and that is the trine to the Neptune. And I bet it had something to do with dance or with movement or with art. And then when she was 15, she put it away because she had to be practical. And I would like her to take that up again and give herself permission to do that and to see what comes out of it once she does. Because I think she'd be surprised at how much that young 14-year-old wants to come out and play and be free and to be able to create. So,
fabulous.
Yeah, good.
Wonderful.
Good luck to her. You know, it's a chart that has a lot of, you know, she gives herself permission and then something says no. So she has to keep giving herself permission, even though something says no. Because the thing that says no can be, initially it was her parents, and now it's her own internal voice. So it's like giving herself permission to go do what she really wants to do.
Excellent, so. Excellent. You were right on from when she and I talked yesterday. I went, let me call in. Oh.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad it was helpful. All right, take care. Bye.
All right, bye.
All right. Yeah. It's hard, you know, when you're a Cancer with a Taurus moon, you know, it's the kids are really deeply, deeply, deeply embedded in you. And as a caretaker with her chart, you know, it's hard. It's hard. It's hard to say. Hard for water sign and earth sign people to not take care of people. But we all are supposed to be pursuing our own dream. So that's the goal right now. So I'm getting a new refrigerator on Wednesday. What are the rest of your dreams? I want you all to think about that dream you had, that little hope, that little vision that was calling you, that was saying, you know, Scott was so excited about the office, a little nervous, a little apprehensive. Apprehension and nerves are very good. It means it's anticipatory excitement. Anticipatory excitement. Think of those words. They're great. They make you kind of want to wiggle in your chair. Anticipatory excitement. And Annabelle, she wasn't so happy with the guy. I mean, he was nice, but, you know, maybe she needs a new boyfriend. Or maybe the old boyfriend back. I don't know. And you, what was the story in your life that made you go, well, it's not my dream. My dream was this. Oh, how's that dream going? What are you doing on it? What's your vision? Where are you going? So give yourself permission to go for your dream this week. Give yourself permission to listen to Mercury. Pay attention to what he says. He's very chatty this week, and he wants your attention. And forward we go into the new week. Take care, everybody. Have a great week. This is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And I'm sitting here at my bright red desk with my cat behind me. And we're going to go have some chicken before it rots in my refrigerator that's broken. while I wait for my new dream refrigerator to arrive on Wednesday. So I hope you all have a great week and happy last of August. Take care. Bye-bye.